Now, friends, we continue our study in the life of Saul. Saul is the man that we have identified as Satan's man, and I trust that we have not done him an injustice by doing just that. I'm thoroughly convinced that this man was Satan's man. I personally do not believe that he was ever saved, and I feel at first that there was something of the hypocrite in the man. He put up a front. He pretended that he was God's man, but he never was. And now in this chapter, Saul's glaring rebellion is revealed in his disobedience here regarding Agag. And you'll notice that he tries to cover up his sin here. It's in this chapter now and from here on that we really begin to see the character of this man, Saul, until the time of his death. Now, I begin reading at verse 1 of 1 Samuel 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, this may seem extreme to any of you that are listening probably for the first time, or if you are a recent listener. But if you have followed in the Old Testament the story of Amalek, you will recognize that they were opposed to God. They were in rebellion against God, and they were those that God said he would judge because of what they had done. And added to that are the fact that these people, had they been permitted to continue to live, would probably have caused in the future more trouble than is imaginable. And you're going to say, how do you know that? Well, I know it because we find that one was spared. Saul spared one. And when you get to the book of Esther, you will find out who he was. And he tried to exterminate an entire people and would have succeeded had not God intervened. So you see, when you get off and get God's perspective, then you will understand his immediate action many times. Very candidly today, you and I and the rest of mankind are not in the privilege of being God. If we were, we could make God's decisions. But until we are in that unique position, then we are not in a position to pass judgment on him, to be sure. Now we find that Saul here gathered the people together, and he numbered them. And we find that he came, verse 5, to the city of Amalek, laid wait in the valley. And we are told that Saul said to the Kenites, "Go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Now this was an act of mercy that no pagan nation would have practiced in that day. And we're told that up to this point, Saul is being obedient. In fact, verse 7 reads, "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." Now he's fulfilling the order that's been given to him. But notice now, "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and lambs. Now he thought, well, now what a shame it is to destroy everything. And so he saves Agag, who is the ruler, and he had no right to spare him any more than you'd spare the umless peasant that was among them. This nation was wholly given to evil, and the king above all others should have been destroyed and judged at this time. And he had no right to save out the best of the cattle. It would look like that he had made this attack for the purpose of getting booty and spoil. And God forbade that, you see, altogether. They were acting as a judge for Almighty God in this particular case.